Our scripture this evening is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. First Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would use this portion of Scripture to prepare our hearts for the fellowship of the table of the Lord. Cause our hearts to be quieted before you. Cause, we pray, that the Spirit of God would use the Word of God to draw our hearts into worship that is spiritual and truthful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the word precious? Some might think of a sparkling gem set in a gold ring. Others might think of that adorable little grandchild as being very precious. Others might think of the sweetness of fellowship of Christians as they are gathered together. And some might think of the Savior himself, of whom we are told here in 1 Peter also, in chapter 2 and verse 7, that to those who believe, he is precious. But here in these verses that we've read tonight, Peter tells us something that perhaps we might not have thought of otherwise, and that is that the blood of Christ is precious, meaning that it is of great value, of great price, great worth, great esteem. And he here contrasts it, in fact, with things that men of this world would call precious. We speak of precious metals. And he contrasts here with gold and silver, which Peter says really are corruptible. They are perishable. They are not of lasting worth. And for that reason, they are really not to be compared with the blood of Christ for the greatness and the permanence of its value. It's no secret that in the world of the modernist, the unbeliever, the blood of Christ is despised. And they will even speak derogatorily of slaughterhouse religion. But to the believer, says Peter, the blood of Christ is not merely necessary, but it is precious. And as I thought of that, I thought of three ways that Peter here refers to in this portion of Scripture as to why the blood of Christ is precious. First of all, we are told here that it is the precious blood of Christ. And so I see, first of all, that the blood of Christ is precious because of whose blood it is. The value of blood is determined by whose blood it is. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah speaking of the meaningless worship that Israel had fallen into, said some of them would bring a lamb to the altar and they would slay the lamb as if they were cutting a dog's neck, cutting off the head of a dog. To them, the blood of that lamb was not precious. It was a ritual. And the cutting off of the head of a dog was a meaningless act. And they were accused of offering the blood of the lamb in that way. The blood of the lamb had been given special value because of its sacrificial nature, because it represented the coming Redeemer. But the blood of a dog has no real value, except it be sentimental value, as the animal himself had personally endeared himself to you. And that would be true of any pet. There might be some value of endearment. But the blood of the animal, aside from that, has no real value. A while back I read of a man who shot a dog and ate it. Yuck. I can't think of such a thing. It turns my stomach. How he could do something like that. Nevertheless, he just shot it and ate it. The article then went on to say that he was arrested for cruelty to animals. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't care to shoot a dog and eat it. But what's the difference between shooting a dog and eating it or shooting a rabbit and eat it? I remember as we would go through the marketplace in Chile and we would see in the marketplace these rabbits hanging by their feet that were for sale there in the market. Our little girls would say, "Oh, look at the poor bunny." From that moment on, you just couldn't eat that animal. It had an attachment, an endearment. And a little lamb. Nathan gives David the example of the man who had this little lamb that had grown up with him and slept with him, and it had become a dear pet to him, and this rich man killed the lamb for the visitor. The issue was not cruelty to animals. The issue was the endearment of a pet. But if you shoot a partridge or a rabbit or a deer, I remember we were walking up in the North Woods when we were up at the conference, and as we were walking out through the woods, all of a sudden we looked ahead, and here was this beautiful doe standing there right in the middle of the path with its great big eyes. You look into those great big eyes and just beautiful. You couldn't shoot something like that. Unless, of course, you were quite hungry. But if you did, it wouldn't be cruelty to animals. It would be the necessary food for the body. And I'm sure that most of us have eaten steak recently or chicken or I don't know what you had for dinner. But that's not cruelty to animals because the blood of animals in itself is not precious. Some of us enjoy eating fish. But if we're going to talk about cruelty to animals, you know, catching that hook in the mouth of the fish has to be the epitome of cruelty. My father tells how he went fishing with a friend of his, and as he was flipping that spinner around in the air to throw it out into the lake, he caught it into the cheek of his friend, and they had to go to the doctor, and the doctor had to pull that hook out of his cheek. But we don't consider that cruelty to animals if we catch a fish and eat it. Because the blood, the value of the blood is determined by the person whose blood it is. And there's no intrinsic value to the blood of the animal. The blood of man, however, does have intrinsic value. No matter whether a man is rich or poor or old or young or whatever his station in life might be, his blood has value because he is made in the image of God. And that's why God said in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, after the flood, when God had cleansed the earth, and all living flesh had been drowned, and only Noah and his family was left. God then said to Noah, on this new and cleansed earth that had been destroyed really for lack of a death penalty, men had done whatever they wanted to because they saw no immediate judgment of their sin. God said to Noah, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And so the blood of man has value because he is made in the image of God. And so his blood is to be respected and honored and to be and protected. God ordained that it be protected. And that's why, for example, government has the responsibility of holding the sanctity of the blood of man by requiring the death of those who kill other men. The ordinary citizen does not have that right. For example, as ordinary citizens, we do not have the authority to give a ticket. Would you like to give a ticket to a police officer sometime? You don't have the authority to do that. We don't have the authority to give a ticket, nor to put a person in prison, nor to take a person's life. These measures are reserved for the ruling powers, the powers that are ordained of God, and they have the right and the responsibility to do that. And their responsibility is to take the life of the person who has taken the life of his fellow man. This is the responsibility of government to do this. The reason being, the blood of man has value because he was made in the image of God. Now the blood of Christ then has the greatest value because Christ is not only man, Christ is also God. He is the God-man. He is the very image of God. He is God incarnate. He is God himself, the triune God, one of the persons of the triune God, and a part of the everlasting Godhead, equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit in glory and honor. And as a result, his blood is of the greatest value, not to be compared with anything earthly, as Peter says, of silver and gold that perish. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious because of who he is. Secondly, not only is it precious because of who he is, it is precious because of how it was shed. And Peter tells us here in this portion of Scripture that it was shed as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was shed in total innocence. And for that reason, it is precious. The wages of sin is death, we are told, and that there is a sin unto death. Sin demands the death of the sinner. But he did not sin. And to the Pharisees he said, which of you convinceth me of sin? We are told rather that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our sin was placed upon him. And for our iniquities, he was slain. Judas said in Matthew 27:4, I have betrayed innocent blood. And the blood of Jesus is precious because it was shed in total innocence. Secondly, it is precious because it was shed with great personal agony. In Luke 22:44, we read, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Prophetically, it was said that his visage was marred more than any man. But his suffering went beyond that. It was the agony as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The agony of separation from the Father. His blood was precious because it was shed with great personal agony. And thirdly, precious because it was shed in obedience to the Father. And Peter here tells us in verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he was foreordained to shed his blood. Revelation tells us he was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, the perfect plan of the Godhead. And so he was slain in obedience to the plan of the Father, not a result of human disaster or a mistake or a martyr. He himself said, "No man taketh my life from me, I give it up of myself." Before his death he prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." And so it was the blood of obedience. It was precious because of how it was shed. Shed in innocence, shed in obedience, shed in agony. The precious blood of Christ. Precious because of who he was and is. Precious because of how it was shed. And then lastly, precious because of what it accomplished. And Peter here tells us, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." The blood of Christ is precious because of what it accomplished. And first and foremost, it accomplished redemption. Now, redemption here, the word stands for being purchased from the slave market. It was a word commonly used for one who had been bought in the slave market. And the indication here then for us is that we were purchased from the slave market of sin. We had nothing wherewith to purchase ourselves, nothing wherewith to redeem ourselves. But he purchased us from that slave market of sin by his own blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, "For by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption." And so by his blood he obtained eternal redemption. Matthew 1:21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And it's because of this that we can sing songs such as "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb," because by his blood he accomplished redemption. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, Peter talks about us being elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now that foreknowledge was not God's knowledge of what we would do. He knew what we would do. He knew that we would sin. And he knew that we would keep on sinning. He knew that we would turn our backs upon him. He knew that we would continue to turn our backs upon him, because no man seeketh after God. He knew what we would do. But he sent Jesus Christ because he knew what he would do and what he had planned. And so his foreknowledge of what he would do is that he would purchase unto himself a people for his name. And so we read that Peter says, "You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." And so we sing the song, "Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm his very own." And so his blood is precious because it accomplished redemption. He purchased unto himself that vast multitude which no man can number. Chosen in eternity past, purchased by the precious blood of Christ. And that's why Paul could say in Galatians 1:15, "It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me." Paul said not only in eternity past did he choose me, but even from the moment of my conception and through my birth and my childhood, he was guiding me toward that which he had planned for me. And that was the ministry that he has given to me. And so That was why God said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. God had set Paul apart even from the day of his birth because he had chosen him in eternity past. And so that rabid, wild persecutor called Saul cried out, what, Lord, wouldst thou have me to do? And God in that moment applied the redemption that had been accomplished by the Lord Jesus upon the cross. We have here such a marvelous mystery. The Lord Jesus says in one breath, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In other words, the purchase price has been paid. And as a result, all hell cannot stop the coming of the sinner that Christ has purchased. Devils, nor angels, nor men, nor principalities, nor powers, not only cannot separate us from the love of Christ, they cannot keep us from coming to that love of Christ. All that the Father giveth me, says Jesus, shall come to me, and nobody and nothing shall impede his rightful claim upon his own, the souls that he has redeemed. And yet at the same time, in the same breath, having said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he says, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That glorious assurance that not one single repentant sinner on the face of the whole earth in the entire history of mankind will be turned away as he would come to Christ in faith, believing. That's why we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell them to come. Plead with them to come. Exhort them to repent and to come. He will never turn anyone away. Many have turned away from him, but he has never turned one away from himself. And so the blood of Christ is precious because of what it accomplished. First and foremost, redemption. And we could go on, time does not permit. Accomplishing Romans 5:9, justification, being now justified by his blood. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from sin. Ephesians 2:13, ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood. Hebrews 10:19, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the accomplishment of the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, because of the gloriousness and the greatness of that which it accomplished. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is precious, first of all, because of who he is, the spotless Son of God. It is precious because of how it was shed in total obedience to the Father. And it's precious because of what it accomplished. He purchased unto himself a bride from every tongue and tribe and nation on the face of the earth. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples, this is the blood of the New Testament. The precious blood of Christ. And we would ask you tonight, is he your Savior? Do you know this redemption? Can you say, I have been redeemed? And if tonight you know that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, then we would remind you that Scripture says this is the blood of the New Testament. And you are invited to come and partake of this memorial service in which we remember the preciousness of his blood, the brokenness of his body, and the preciousness of his blood. Before we go into our time of communion service, we want to have a time of silent prayer. If you don't know the Savior, come now in repentance and faith. He has not turned one away. Come to him And as those who have the joy of being redeemed, we come asking that as we come, that He cleanse us anew and fill us anew, that we might best be able to worship Him and adore Him in spirit and in truth as we come to His table. And so we'll have a short time of silent prayer. And we would encourage any of you that desire to lead us out in song, some chorus or well-known hymn.